Established in 1974, Manchester Music Festival, MMF to the friends, has been a beacon for classical music enthusiasts for half a century, showcasing both established artists and young talents. Nestled in the beautiful Green Mountains of southern Vermont, the Manchester Music Festival plays a pivotal role in the cultural enrichment of the community and beyond. The festival celebrates its golden anniversary this year with a curated season of more than 30 events, including performances, masterclasses, open rehearsals, talks, and outreach programs. The season runs July 11th through August 8th. Under the leadership of artistic director Philip Setzer, founder and violinist of the Emerson String Quartet, season 50 celebrates the romantic journey, a theme that cuts to the heart of how art reflects our humanity. It is a great pleasure to welcome Philip Setzer back to the roundtable. Philip, thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Very happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And well, you've just said everything I was going to say, so I don't have anything else left to say.
Oh, don't tell me that. That makes talk show hosts nervous when they hear that.
No, you covered a lot just in your introduction.
I do want to ask you, I mean, I think the last time we talked was when you were wrapping up with the Emerson Quartet and just taking this position. So what has it been like? What has that transition been like for you?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I get this question so much now. So how's retirement? Because people know that the quartet stopped performing. And I'm like, I'm really busy. I'm teaching at two schools. I teach full-time at Stony Brook University and part-time at Cleveland Institute. And then this little artistic directorship kind of appeared out of nowhere. A year or so before the quartet stopped, and I knew I couldn't do it well, especially in the last year of the quartet, because we were running all over the world to play, you know, to say goodbye to our friends and play our last concerts in this place and a lot of places that had been canceled during COVID wanted to have us one more time. So it was a terribly busy but wonderful year, and so I said, well, I can start the year after, and it's been a ride. I'll tell you, it's like this is not something I've done before. I've watched a lot of my friends do it, and they all say the same thing. It's really exciting, but it's a lot. You know, that's sort of the message I got, and they were right. But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying being able to, you know, come up with ideas, and hopefully people will enjoy the result of my ideas as much as I have enjoyed putting them into the mix and then inviting so many wonderful friends and colleagues to come and help me.
So not only do you get to program a season, but you get to program the 50th anniversary season. So no pressure there.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm coming in trying to look back at 50 years when I wasn't here. But but it's great. I mean, it looks amazing that it's survived this long. I mean, anything that survives 50 years is any kind of relationship. And something as complex as a festival like this, it's really, to a lot of people's credit, that it's done so well and is still going. And I'm, you know, deeply honored to be part of it and taking over as artistic director. But it's not just me. I mean, we have a wonderful staff. Jenny Lynn is the new executive director. She's doing this for the first time, too. So we're sort of, it's like we're friends, like, you know, walking through the forest at night and kind of staying close to each other to make sure that we get through okay. And Robin Pomerantz has also been was appointed as festival manager. And the board is also incredible. And Lou Zellner, the chair of the board, has been very supportive, very helpful. And I mean, all these people that I'm dealing with have had more experience with this kind of thing than I have. I've been in a lot of festivals, and I've led things, but I've never been, you know, the person where the buck stops there kind of thing. So, but you know, I was thinking of something just to, I don't want to go off topic too much, but I wanted to tell this story because it kind of leads to my being asked to be at MMF. Would it be okay if I
absolutely
told a quick story? Okay. Well, my teacher at Juilliard was Oscar Chomsky, a great violinist, and I just wanted to mention something about him and his impact on my life in many ways. First of all, my parents met in his class at Peabody in 1940, just before the war. He was 23, they were 20. So I wouldn't even exist if it weren't for Oscar Chomsky, literally. Then fast forward to my going to Juilliard in 1969, and I meet a young, at that point, we were all, you know, young men, named Eugene Drucker. And we form a student quartet in 1970, which then morphed into the Emerson Quartet eventually. And again, Gene and I were in Oscar Chomsky's class. Then, fast forward a couple of years, I'm playing the Haydn Symphonia Concertante, being invited by Mr. Chomsky to play with the Colonial Symphony out in Madison, New Jersey. And I asked them, well, who are the other people going to be? And I knew the oboist, Steve Taylor, and the bassoonist. But I didn't, and he said, well, so who's going to be the cellist? He said, well, and I thought maybe it would be somebody at Juilliard. And he said, you know, I think I'm going to use a local boy from Madison. He's a teen, he's a high school student, very talented. His name is David Finkel. So I end up, you know, meeting David then, and then later he comes into the quartet. And then, as if that isn't enough, the person who calls me about Manchester is Brian Suslak, who, it turns out, lived next door. His family lived next door to the Chomskys in Rye, New York. And he, you know, grew up friends with Eric Chomsky, Oscar's son. And Brian asked, when they were looking for an artistic director, Brian asked Eric who he would recommend, and he recommended me. Isn't this weird? I mean, it's like all these coincidences, but everything like revolves around Mr. Chomsky. And the last thing I want to say about that is my very last conversation with Mr. Chomsky when he was very ill, and I knew it was going to be the last time I spoke to him. As I was about to hang up, he said something about not calling him again because he was too weak to talk. As I was about to hang up, I hear Phil, and I, you know, like literally a second before I was going to hang up, I said, Mr. Chomsky, yes? He says, I just want to tell you one thing. Do something other. He said, the quartet is wonderful, but you should do something other than the quartet that's really, really your own because you have something special to offer. Click. And that was the last thing he said to me. Mm. And, you know, it all leads to where I am now with MMF because, of course, I'm doing a lot of teaching, but this is something different. This is something that, for better or for worse, I'm going to put my stamp on. But I just thought it was interesting to draw that line from my parents' meeting and literally my existence because of Chomsky and all the way to where I am now.
When you think of that history of everything coming together, I mean, as you look at this season and a season that I mentioned has a theme, mm-hmm. which is the romantic journey, and certainly that is a beautiful theme to think about, but also gives you an opportunity to really dig deep and find some just incredible people to take part in this
right.
festival over the next several weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've always done the. I guess one of the reasons why they hired me is I've always done the programming for the quartet. And not just figuring out what we're going to play on Tuesday, you know, but coming up with ideas, coming up with series ideas, and also just the programs themselves having a sense of a journey through the program. I mean, I like to do things that are that are chronological. People told me you can't do the Beethoven cycle chronologically because the early quartets won't sell. And I said, well, we're going to do it anyway. And I think we might have been the first quartet to ever do that. But if you take that journey through the Beethoven string quartets from his early compositions through then to the middle period and then end up in the late period, it is a journey. It's a very different experience. Also, when we did the Bartoks, we were crazy in 1981. We did all six Bartoks in one concert, with two intermissions, and we did it chronologically. And it was devastating, the end of the sixth quartet, after you experienced his life that way. So I like the word journey because I want there to be a sense of a journey within each program, but also over the whole series. And I'm hoping that people will buy into to all of the episodes and not miss anything, because it there is a real flow from the beginning to the end. And I'm really fortunate to have a wonderful group of guest artists coming, from actually the very first concert is with David Finkel and his wife Wu Han doing trios, and Edward Aaron and Jiwon Park are playing with me on the second program, and I'm bringing my dear friend Larry Dutton from Emerson for the third program, with Derek Cooden, Colin Carr, David Schifrin, Jenny Lynn's going to play on that. Nancy Allen, the principal harpist of the New York Philharmonic, is going to join us for the fourth program. And we're doing a world premiere on that of a piece, a string quartet that was written for the Emerson. It was our last commission. But Sarah and I talked about it, and she and I agreed that it could be expanded. So she's made another a bigger version of it with harp and adding bass, and can be done with small string orchestra. So that'll be the world premiere of that. And then on the final concert, we were able to get Christine Gerke to come and sing. You know, she's the Brünnhilde from the last Met opera Ring Cycle, and we've performed together in Detroit, where she lives, and she very kindly said, yes, it's your first time doing this. Of course I'll come, and Gilles von Sadel and his wife, Sarah Crocker von Sadel, Matt Lippmann, Estelle Choi, all of these people are really excited about coming. And I think it's going to be very exciting. We also have a solo performance of Vasily Primakov playing a solo piano recital. And then these other things that you're alluding to, we have talks about, one talk is about the Romantic era, and I want to approach it where it can be, not didactically, but a learning experience for people. You know, what is Romanticism? Why did it happen? What was going on in the world at the time? Putting it in context, so you're not just, it's not just a series of five, concerts with popular romantic pieces on it, but there's the theme. There's also kind of a challenge in a way for all of us to learn. I've learned so much just from preparing for things like this interview. I'm reading, right. I got to know what I'm talking about, right? or at least give that impression.
Well, at least one of our guests should, sure.
Well, we try. But we're also doing an interesting program called Given a Chance, about music that was romantic music that was neglected because of a person's gender or the color of their skin or race other things other than whether the music was worthwhile, put it that way, because it certainly is. And so we're doing an evening, a special evening called Given a Chance, and have some wonderful people coming to talk, a panel about that. And also about the romantic era, romanticism. What is romanticism? What does it mean? It's not just putting on some nice music and lighting a candle and having a nice glass of wine, right? There's more to it than that.
Absolutely. Well, it's a beautiful festival, and I direct people to your website where you can see all of the events laid out, and you can plan from there. It's MMFVT, Manchester Music Festival, mm-hmm. Vermont, MMF, as in Frank, or festival in this case, MMFVT.org. The festival runs July 11th through August 8th. Philip Setzer is the artistic director. Philip, thank you so much for sharing with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
Thank you. I just want to mention one quick thing, which is that we also have a young artist program. And we have these 10 wonderful young people that will have their own programs like that, Given a Chance program. They will be playing. But I'm also changing things up a little bit and interweaving a little bit more. So they'll be playing on the main concerts as well, but that's another big part of MMF is the educational side of it. And for me, my experience, I learned so much from sitting down and playing with my mentors and not just having them sit there with a score and tell me what to do. So I'm doing that too, but we're going to play together as well. And I there's other community things too. There's a family concert, and you'll see all of it on the website, but it's I think it's very exciting. Also, just in closing, I just say that the hall, our Arkell Pavilion, is very intimate, and it's almost like having the music in your living room. You know, there's an intimacy and in a wonderful way. I think it's a perfect way to hear your chamber music.
Absolutely, it's a beautiful place, beautiful venue indeed. It is it's all wonderful. It's a Manchester Music Festival celebrating its golden anniversary with a curated season of more than 30 events, performances, masterclasses, open rehearsals, talks, and outreach programs. You can find out about all of those things by going to the website, mmfvt.org. The festival runs July 11th through August 8th. Philip Setzer, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you for giving
this
time.
Thank you.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Again, MMFVT for more information. It's mfvt.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.